Who remembers where we left off last week? Nancy says she'll look it up. We are in the Bible, kind of near the back side of the Bible, right? And we were at Revelation 24. Oh, I was going to say, I didn't think 24. Okay, yeah, that's where we left off. We were in the millennial kingdom. We were talking about what it's going to be like to live at that time without the presence of Satan, because Satan's going to be locked up in a dungeon for 1,000 years. And I picture something kind of like the Garden of Eden, the way the world's going to be, because we just will not have his presence. The Bible tells us different things about that kingdom at that time. One of the things it says is that you've heard the expression, a lion will lay down with a lamb. That's actually not in the Bible. It says the wolf will lay down with the lamb. And then it says the lion will lay down with something else. Anyway, the point is there's not going to be any red tooth or claw during that time. It's not going to be death and violence, even in the animal kingdom. During that time, it says that children will be able to stick their hands in a cobra nest and play with a cobra and no problems. So that's going to be a really great time. We were getting right up to the end of it, and at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be released for a short period of time. And that's what I was going to go into today until I came here Wednesday night, and we were getting a picture of heaven that Bob's teaching, and many of you were here, and you know what he was talking about. For those of you don't know what he's talking about, it's kind of a visualization of what heaven's going to be like. Who's going to be there? Who's not going to be there? How are we going to feel about people who are or aren't there? What age are we going to be? What's our grandfather going to look like to us? You know, all those kind of questions that we're talking about. It's things that are interesting to think and talk about. And I got to thinking, I think it would be good for us to kind of visualize a little more about what heaven's going to be like and what the millennial kingdom's going to be like. Now, I believe, that it's going to be a literal rule and reign of Jesus Christ on earth for 1,000 years. Some people don't believe that. Some people think we're in the millennial kingdom right now, that at the end of the millennial kingdom, there will be a combination of what we call a rapture and the second coming of Jesus happen at the same time. I don't personally believe that, but some people believe that, and that's fine. But either way, at the end of time, the Bible says we're going to experience life differently than it is now. It's going to be a wonderful situation where Satan will not have any influence on us. And there's a couple of little parables in the Bible that Jesus tells to give an example, just a slight example of kind of what we're going to be doing. And it's not floating around on a cloud strumming a harp, okay? That would drive me out of my gourd after about the second verse, you know, on the harp. I want something to do. I told you that before. I enjoy doing things, and I think we all do. I mean, if you may not enjoy your particular job that you have, but I bet you could tell me a job that you would enjoy, and that if you did have that job, you would be excited about getting up in the morning and going to it. And we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit today. It's going to be a different message. I'm not going to do it nearly as much talking, I hope, as you guys do, because it's going to be a participation thing. And why do we want to do this? I thought of a little story. Follow me with this little vignette. You lapse into a coma today, and no, don't worry about no health problems. That you just lapse into a coma, and you wake up, and your family's around you when you wake up, and they say, "Hey, welcome back. It's good to have you back." And you say, "Oh, it's great to be back. What day is it? What time is it?" And well, they say, "Well, funny you should ask. Come on down to the living room here," and you go down the living room, and there's the Christmas trees up. Presents under the tree. You smell a turkey cooking in the oven. You have awoken up on Christmas Day. Now, that's the picture I want you to think about for just a second. Now, my question to you is this. What would you feel if that happened to you? Take aside the health issues. This has nothing to do with a stroke or anything like that. It's just the fact that if you woke up, when you went to sleep, you weren't thinking about Christmas at all. And when you woke up, you're right in the middle of Christmas. How would you feel? I need some participation here. Val says she's having a big old smile on her face thinking about Christmas. What else? You'd want to know what happened. Okay, well, that's not really the point of my story. The problem with you, bud, is your mind is too logical. You want to figure all these things out. This is like a dream. It doesn't have to have meaning, okay? It just happened, all right? But anyway, you're actually closer to what I'm looking for than Val is. You'd be frustrated because you're even closer. Okay. All right. I got to repeat a couple of these things here for people who are listening. Leona says she'd be mad because she lost some days. And that is, you're almost where, what the point I want to make. And then Bob, of course, says he didn't have to buy Christmas presents, so he's happy. Now, here's my point. If I woke up in that situation, I would actually be disappointed. And the reason I would be disappointed is I lost the anticipation of Christmas. I remember when I was a child, somewhere around a couple hours after Thanksgiving dinner, and you started thinking about Christmas, I would get so excited. And my father and mother made Christmas such an exciting time in our house. They would be dropping hints on what we're going to get for the 25 days before Christmas, and we're always trying to figure them out. And if we got too close, he'd give us a hint that would send us the other way. That's how devious my dad was. But we would be so excited for, say, the 25 days before Christmas. What about Sears and Roebuck? Okay. Tammy says that she knew Christmas was coming when the Sears and Roebuck catalog got to the house. Right. But do you know what I mean? I enjoyed the 25 days before Christmas as much or more than the actual Christmas Day. Now, Christmas Day was a wonderful day, too, and it was very exciting, but it was over. My dad used to say, nothing is as over as Christmas on the 26th. The magic is gone. You know, but for that 25 days before, the anticipation building up to me as a child was just so exciting. And I tried to replicate that with our children and get them, you know, building up anticipation and excitement as Christmas would come along. So if I woke up and there's everything already under the tree and the lights are already on the tree, I didn't help string the lights and I didn't help wrap the presents. Karen said, don't act like you'd miss that. For the story's sake, the anticipation is so much of the pleasure. That's my point, the whole story. Now, let's take that feeling. I hope you have that understanding now of what I'm talking about. Let's turn that into a millennial kingdom. Someday, we're going to experience the millennial kingdom. Someday, we're going to live on an earth without the presence of Satan. And according to what Scripture says, we're going to be given a job, and it's going to be a job that we're going to enjoy. We know that from the parable that Jesus talked about, the talents. Remember the parable of the talents? He gave one fellow five, he gave another one, I think, three, and one, and it's actually two different parables, and they're slightly different. But basically, the story of the talents was those who put their talents to work received a reward. And one of the things that Jesus said when handing out the rewards, he would say, take charge of 10 cities, take charge of 5 cities, take charge of 2 cities or whatever, 3 cities. The point is, he was going to give us a job. And it was going to be something that we would do out of joy and excitement. So, that is going to happen. I equate that to Christmas morning. when we reach that point when Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, take charge of five cities." That is Christmas morning. Now, if we realize that and we don't think about it anymore, and we stop and we go on to looking at other things in the Bible and other things in Scripture, and we no longer think about that, what have we lost? We've lost the anticipation of that event. I think if we can anticipate that event, it will be so much more exciting when it actually happens than if we just wake up one morning like we've woken up from a deep sleep and Jesus says, "Take charge of five cities." We'll say, "Well, that'll be wonderful, but I never thought about it actually happening. I missed out on the anticipation." So what I want to do this morning is participate in the anticipation of the millennial kingdom. If you're of the opinion that perhaps the millennial kingdom is figurative, which I disagree with, think of it as heaven. Think of it participation. What is heaven going to be like? So what I want to do is I want you to participate, and I want you to tell me what would be your ideal job when that day comes. It is coming, and Jesus is going to say to everyone in this room, "Take charge of such and such." If you could sit on his lap as we sat on Santa's lap as a child and told Santa what we wanted for Christmas, if you could sit on God's lap right now and tell God what you wanted during that time, what you wanted your job to be, what would it be? That's what I want to cover today, because I think by doing that, we will start to anticipate and realize this is actually going to happen. I'm actually going to be a part of this. This is an exciting thing. I need to be thinking about what it is I want to do, because maybe we'll have a say in it. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but we might have a say in it. So question is, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be? Perhaps who do you want to be with? That kind of thing. Those are kind of things I'd like you to think about, because by thinking of them, you will be anticipating it actually happening, and you will enjoy it more when it does happen. How close will it be to what we think? I don't know. But I think that if the Lord didn't want us anticipating, he wouldn't have told the parable. What's the purpose of the parable if he doesn't want us to anticipate it? So I'm going to open it up. I got a couple of microphones. We'll maybe have one on each side. After you speak, you can kind of glance around and see if anybody's got their hand up. You can take it back to them while the other side's speaking, that kind of thing. So we'll kind of keep it moving right along. For those of you in the parking lot, if you want to come in and talk on the microphone too, you're welcome to too. So this is something, I know you haven't thought about it. It may take a while for something to come to mind, but this is something that would be neat to participate in. So I'm going to hand microphones out, maybe to Karen and Bob, I'll start out with Alice, but just be looking after you speak to who to hand it to, and then I'll hand one to you, Bob, and you can be looking on your side. This is just something we've never done. I don't think, probably any church service has ever done this, but I think it would be a fun thing to do. Go ahead, Alice.
Well, I've had said for years and years and years that when I get to heaven, I want to harmonize with myself. Because singing in harmony has always been such pure joy for me. And I'm going to add to that this morning, because singing with Nancy, she's alto, I'm tenor, and we just have the same kind of quality or strength of voice, and we don't mess each other up either. That I've added to that. I want to be in a choir, not like Kurt. I want to be singing, and I'd love to think about Nancy being there and all the other people who sing or think they can't sing or whatever. And for all of us to be singing in a heavenly choir, whether it's shape notes or whether it's Messiah, all that wonderful, wonderful spiritual music. It's gospel, it's everything. So that is what my picture of heaven will be like.
before you speak, Nancy, I have the pleasure of sitting in front of you two, and I hear you harmonizing every Sunday morning.
And is it a pleasure?
It is a pleasure.
But we love it, too.
I love hearing you two sing together. Go
ahead. So I think what I would like to do in heaven is cook and entertain family and friends, because that's what I love to do here on earth when I get the opportunity. I don't know where I'd be. I guess heaven, or, you know, but anyway, that's what I would truly love to do, because I love to be around people and I love to cook for them. So.
Well, I just had one more comment from a BSF Bible study once. The point of that particular study was our eternal life has already begun. The moment we accept
Amen.
Christ, our eternal life has begun. And so as we enjoy these sorts of things in a godly way, it is the beginning of anticipating the millennial kingdom and the joy of what it will be like in heaven.
Well, I want to hear y'all do a duet.
Well, you have to sit over there.
Or
you have to move. You have to sit.
We need a soprano trio with us. We need a soprano.
Yes, we need a quartet's what we need.
Yeah, we need a bass and...
Bass and a soprano.
And I was wondering, does anybody here play the guitar?
Val.
No.
Val does.
Not well enough.
No, she won't pick it up.
Because
she's got...
I have a song about Noah. It's a Gaither song.
Cool.
It's so much fun to sing, so just thought we'd
okay.
Parts in it.
So. We need to talk about this.
That's
after
right.
Church here.
For old timey day.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Bob.
How much time do I have?
I'll cut you off if you run too long.
Okay. Well, first off.
You're not in heaven yet. You have unlimited time.
First off, I want to thank you for doing this. This is awesome. This is what I hope that the heaven series would do. Get us thinking about, you know, there's so much going on here in the earth and so much going on in our country and so much things going on, you know, every time we turn the news on, that we now have the anticipation. We always have had it, but now it's brought to the forefront. So I appreciate you doing it. I got a whole list of stuff. I've been thinking about this for a long time, you know, since this whole heaven thing came about. And my job, I want to be an explorer. I want to be another Perry or Livingston or Lewis and Clark. You know, I want to see this new world that God has given us, that this 1,000 years, then he's going to bring down a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to, you know, I want to take a wooden dory and paddle down the Colorado River. You know, I want to go with Fred Stout to Alaska and have him show me what Alaska's like. I want to be an adventurer. You know, I've always wanted to do that. I've done a lot of that in my life. I want to ride a bicycle around the globe. You know, I'm going to have a brand new body. I probably won't be able to make it until that happens. But, you know, I want to do that kind of thing. I want to climb the highest mountain. You know, I want to find out what's going to replace hunting. You know, I've been a hunter all my life. What's going to replace fishing? Maybe we'll get to fish. There's going to be something that God is going to give Kenny and me the opportunity to go out and feel like, or much greater than we'd ever get from getting up and being 0 degrees and going sitting in a deer stand or going chasing a bunch of hounds through the woods. I'm going to find out what that is. But I'm no, I don't know. I don't know. God's already got it planned out, because there's going to be some of us there that's going to want to do that. I want to ride a motorcycle around the world with Charlie. I'm serious. That would be so cool. We ain't got to worry about no nagging wives when you're coming home. You're not going to have to worry about... You can have your own motorcycle and follow along, but we'd rather you not go on the first one. You know, we're not going to get tired. We're not going to get hungry. I mean, we're going to stop and eat, because we're talking about feasts in heaven.
Because Nancy's going to fix it.
That's right.
Awesome. We'll stop by Nancy's house, you know, but it's hard to wrap your head around this. It's hard to do that. I mean, it really is. What would you do if you could do anything you wanted to except sin? What would you do? Man, I'm excited about it. I've already made plans with my friends, like I told you, Wednesday night on the coast. I've already made plans to ride a motorcycle, you know, across the United States, and we're probably not going to get it done in this life. I don't know what the, you know, probably be lithium-ion technology, and there's going to be all kind of different stuff, but I really look forward to that. Valerie and I love riding a tractor and trailer around the country. We did it for 11 years. We loved it. And every once in a while, we'd make some money. But that, you know, we don't have to worry about that no more. We could buy another truck. You know, but I don't know. It's the sky's the limit, man. I mean, I'm excited. I want to be an adventurer. I want to go and see. And he's talking about new heavens. Does that mean new universes? Don't know. New heavens and new earth. I mean, there may be other, knowing God in his, I mean, in my fleshly mind, he may be preparing us for things that we have no concept of. You know? I mean, we may be able to travel to other galaxies. You know, we may be able to look into other places. I don't know. But, you know, if it's just 1,000 years here on this earth and then the new heaven and new earth comes down, to see Jerusalem for the first time, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high, and God will be living there. Dude, I'm gonna stop by there a bunch in all my journeys. I'm excited about it. Who else?
Mm, amen. Joanne, right there.
More than anything, I want to work with children. I want to work with music and drama and work with the children and make them understand what God is all about. Mm,
that's a good one. And there will be children in the Millennial Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a great opportunity to educate them on the Lord, and lots of fun and time to do plays and have meals. And I was thinking about the meals. A lot of stuff in the Bible centers around eating.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. That's a godly pursuit. I think we should have more dinner on the grounds here.
Let's say we know he knows how to do fish. So.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's good, Joanne. Thank you. Frances.
When I get to heaven, I've already given it thought. I want to be with the animals. I want to take care of the dogs, cats, anything along that line. And if God were to tell me, I would like for you to be over these three cities, I would cry. I know there's no crying in heaven, but to me that'd be more responsibility. I've had enough responsibility as it is. So I would love to be with the animals.
Okay.
Those three cities are full of dogs and cats and lions, tigers, bears, and all those things.
But you hear in Francis's request, you hear that we're different. Some of us would like to be in charge of cities and people and be a mayor. I'm always joking with Karen about her being mayor of Spruce Pine. but some of us kind of like to be alone or kind of like to be not have any responsibility. And Francis has a heart for animals.
I think that's going to rotate a little bit with a heavenly mind. There's some of the things that the burdens now because of the fallings.
Very possible, yeah. You better talk in the microphone. I don't know where it's at.
Here.
We'll just repeat it real quick.
I think that, you know, some of the things that we're thinking about, all of the things that we're speaking of today in this building, we're doing it with the mind of flesh.
Okay.
Living in a world that's cursed. So, you know, when we think about responsibility, we think about the drudgeries of responsibility. We think about the responsibility of responsibility. And when we get to heaven and we get to the millennium, that's all going to change. You know, without the sin in the world, you know, there's not going to be any contention. Imagine being the mayor of Spruce Pine today. I wouldn't even want to be on the POA board of Land Harbor. I mean, these folks, they're like cats and dogs. But that's because they're fallen.
Right.
Imagine no pecking order, no contention, no pride. That changes everything. It's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah.
To be,
if your biggest decision as mayor is to when to hold the parade,
when's old timey day?
Yeah, stuff like that.
You know, we've been here now for 20,000 years. We're gonna have another one. Let's do it. We're gonna do it better than the last 20,000.
And it would be a pleasure.
Yeah,
right.
I would hope that God would leave me in charge of all the flower gardens. All the flower gardens.
Of the what? Okay, Vicky wants to be in charge of all the flower gardens. Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to pick roses, Vicky, that didn't have thorns on them? So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want more people to participate now. This is
Vern, you got to have something, son. Well, I'll bring it on to you, son. I know. I mean, I hate to jump all the way back there, but I mean.
No, I would start and just move it all the way back.
Well, nobody said anything, and I saw smoke rise.
Scripture. There, you know, there's a crown for looking forward to his appearance. So that's. I really appreciate that.
This here.
This means hold it close to your. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Deborah, hold you it go me. Wild over your.
But. You know, in Thessalonians, you know, there's that anticipation you were talking about, that we should be looking forward to that. And I thought, boy, that's special. And you know, all I was going to say is, you know, I've always wanted to fly I've been in a fighter jet, but I've never been in an F-4 Phantom, you know. But I'd love to just take people from planet Earth into those universes, and it wouldn't be a normal passenger ride. We would fly through the Grand Canyon at high speed and then pull on up and go straight up to another universe and see the colors and things. So that's kind of my you know, I guess a tour guide maybe, you know.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I knew he'd have something good to say.
That was good.
One of the things in our heaven study that you don't get – we haven't shared yet, don't know if we'll get into it or not on Wednesday nights. When you read the textbook on heaven, Randy Alcorn keeps repeating to have an imagination. You know, he likens a lot of his stories to C.S. Lewis's writings, have an imagination. So when, you know, when Vern talks about, you know, the reason that he's never flown a fighter jet, there's a reason for that. You know, he's probably not, you know, Bud, there was a reason Bud did do it, you know, but you've got that imagination. You want to fly down through the Grand Canyon and fly to another universe. And that's one of the things that Randy Alcorn says. We have gotten, as we get older, we have lost that ability to imagine. You know, we started watching the Chronicles of Narnia the other night, and it's like, it's crazy. I mean, it's like this is an imaginary world. And what we're talking about in the millennium for a lot of us is an imaginary world. It's going to be real. We know that. So.
I enjoy engineering work. You know, God was the first engineer. He took a spare part and made a loudspeaker.
That took a second. Did anybody not get that? Okay.
took a rib and created a woman. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good thing you're way in the back there, Dave.
But there are scientists and there are engineers. Scientists study what exists, and engineers create what does not exist. I enjoy building, creating. You know, anybody that builds houses is a creator, you know, creates what did not exist. I enjoy, you know, taking, I guess engineers also exploit nature to benefit man, to create something out of resources we have, to create something we don't have, to solve a problem. So I guess it boils down to problem solving. I enjoy that. Being able to create something and solve a problem.
I think there'll be plenty of room for that.
Yep.
During that time. Glenda's got something.
I want to be the piano player for Alice and Nancy. Any song that I can find that's got the piano, because I love Southern gospel that has the piano music. I could just imagine. I don't know why I took piano when I was in sixth grade, but we couldn't afford a piano and all that, so I don't know. Maybe I'm too old to do it now, but that would just be wonderful.
You have a new body, and if that's...
And a new piano.
You're sitting on the Lord's lap and saying, I want to play the piano, Lord. Why not? You know, why couldn't he not impart that to you and give you the ability? I have dreams sometimes of playing the piano magnificently. Just whatever comes to my mind just goes through the piano. I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't want to have sheet music. I just want to do it.
I hate to wake up from those kind of dreams.
Okay, who's
Who
next?
Else? Kenny's got something.
Kenny wants to kill my... I disagree with you. Because we're going to hunt. It might be catch and release, but, you know, we're going to get to hunt. But I'm a lot like Bob. There's a lot of things that I'd like to try. First of all, I'd find some place I'd like to live better than I do here. I mean, this is my home, and I love it, and everything about it. I've been fortunate enough to be out west. And
there's no
see a lot of things, right? But, too, after almost 43 years in the fire department and all like that, I can't imagine not being able to help people. I know in heaven they ain't going to need my help because Jesus is there, you know. But I hope if there's anything available, I would have the opportunity to get up in the morning and help somebody, whatever it might be.
Very good. And I think you will have the opportunity.
I do, too.
I mean, I know it's going to be different than it is now, but it's going to be the same in a lot of ways, too. We're still going to have needs, and we're still going to have desires and things like that, and I think we're still going to be a community. And helping is a part of that community. Okay, Val's got something here.
I want to play the harp.
You want to play the harp?
I want a long, flowing white linen dress with a great, big, huge harp in front of me.
Do you want to join the quartet and with the piano and be part of the band there?
Absolutely. Yeah, right. I want to be creative, and I don't know what capacity, because I've been creative in a couple aspects, but just out of my own personal wantings, not trying to achieve anything. So who knows where God will lead me with that. Maybe I'll make you all some gold bangles or some rings with pearls, or
chip up some street, some asphalt, make some gold bangles.
Some free gold, free pearls. I don't know, creative writing, who knows? I don't know, just creative.
Well, I'm going to relate, hang on just a second, Joe. I'm going to relate two things before we run out of time that people have told me that aren't here. One is Joe Yelton. He told me that if he could do anything he wanted to do, he would want to be a history teacher. And he started explaining to me why he wanted to be a history teacher and why it excites him. And as he was saying this, his eyes were just sparkling and bright. And he got so excited just talking about being a history teacher. To him, that is something that he really wants to do. And I have no doubt that God will give him something. If he's not a history teacher, it will be something like that, that he will enjoy that much type of thing. That's one person. The other person is my son, Joe, who said that he wanted to be able to fly like Peter Pan, meaning a couple of strokes with his arms and he can glide away. You know how Peter Pan did it. So he said, Dad, he said, when I get to heaven, I want to be able to fly. He said, I think that's so cool. Well, why would we not be able to? Those kinds of things, I think it's fun to anticipate and to think about. Now, Jim, what you got?
Well, whatever it is that he asked me to do, I'll be glad that I won't get tired. That I can go ahead and keep going, take my time doing it, and not feel rushed.
Isaiah chapter 40, you'll run and not go faint. So, go ahead. Take your goofy comment.
I got a goofy comment to what you were just saying. I think we will be able to fly because I've already got my wings in they're growing.
Okay, Val. You can have a different body though. Okay. Is there another microphone in the back? Vern's got something else.
Vern.
Glenda's gonna get it to him.
The only concern I have is you're sitting in a white chair. Are you not? You judging us? Or I just want to make sure. What was? I think a neat opportunity would be the guy that's in the information booth when people enter into heaven.
Is that like go here if you want to see this person?
Any questions? Yeah, let me.
Why not? Yeah, why not? There's gonna be a lot of questions. Okay, Charlie. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to do something nearly impossible. I want to land an FAU Crusader on an aircraft carrier in a typhoon.
Do you want to hit the first, what do they call it, first line?
Hit the third one. Yeah.
You want to hit the third one? Okay. Now that's a specific wish. That's good.
It is.
Anybody else? I feel like I should call on a couple people, just that people that never say anything.
Yeah.
Just to see what they'd say. Probably embarrass them. Rachel, why do you have your head down? Are you going to tell us what you want to be, Rachel? No? She's too shy. Anybody else? I think I told you a while back what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in charge of, I was born in a town called Dunnell in Florida. It's known for one thing, a river that runs through it, or starts in it, through actual springs called the Rainbow River. It is the most beautiful river I have ever seen in my life. And it's got the head springs are maybe the size of two of our sanctuaries here, basically. And the water just bubbles up out of the ground. It's kind of bowl-shaped, and a river just comes out of it. And the water just bubbles up, so it's got a sandy bottom, perfectly crystal clear, and I've forgotten how many millions of gallons of water goes out of there in like a matter of 10 minutes. There's just, it would probably fill up this whole sanctuary in a matter of less than a minute. That's how much water comes bubbling out of these springs, crystal clear. And somebody needs to be in charge of that, to be in charge of giving the tours of there, because there's all kind of fish that are just taking their time floating around there because they know they can't be fished there. They don't allow fishing there, so they're not afraid of people and things like that. But it's just one of the most beautiful spots that I've ever seen on Earth. I would love to be somehow or another in charge of that. Val?
What's the name of the town again? Dunellen.
Dunellen. Dunellen. Dunellen. It had, apparently the name of the town came from a woman named Ellen who spent a lot of time in the only outhouse in the town. And they were always saying, "Are you done, Ellen?"
So, oh, no.
At least you'll never forget the name of the town now. Okay. Anyway, two other things I wanted to do. I would love to be able to explore the bottom of the oceans that have never been seen by people because of the water pressure. You can only go down so far. And there are volcanoes, there's mountains, there's cliffs. I would love to be able to just, without the need for oxygen or air pressure protection and protection from things like giant squids and great white sharks, I would love to be able to just swim through at whatever rate of speed I wanted to go and just see God's glory. Two-thirds of the earth, I think, three-quarters, something like that, is covered with water. Much of it's never been seen by the human eye. I would love to explore that. I'd like some of you, the other thing some of you have already said, explore the heavens. Wouldn't it be cool to be able to take a ship and just go straight to the sun without being scorched by it, heated, and see what it's like to see one of those explosions that of the sun at really a close distance without being hurt by it, and just to see some of the other planets, some of the other stars that God has made. Wouldn't it be cool to see, which is the one that has the ring? Saturn. Saturn, to see those rings up close, to see what that would be like. So many things that I would love to be able to do that right now we're limited by, you know, our bodies and things that we can do. But anyway, you guys have been great. You have done a great job. I hope you, by thinking about what you want to do, you actually start thinking about, hey, this is going to happen someday. Right. And it's good to anticipate it. And when it does happen, we may have a little meeting in heaven someday. Definitely. And say, remember when we talked about this? Look how close this was to what actually happened. You know, that's going to be an exciting thing. So I hope now you'll start anticipating the millennial kingdom, anticipating heaven, as we anticipated Christmas. I think it'll make it a much more enjoyable experience when it does indeed happen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us insights into what you have planned for us. You haven't told us everything, but you've given us some glimpses. And I think it is your desire that we do anticipate what you have in store for us, that we don't want to just wake up like we woke up out of a deep sleep and just experience it all of a sudden. We want to anticipate it. We want to look forward to it. We want to see how close we are to imagining what it is that you have for us. So it's an exciting thing, and we thank you for the little glimpses that you have given us into heaven. The crystal clear river that runs down the middle of the street of heaven, the dimensions of heaven that we'll be talking about next week, Lord, the things that are actually in heaven and the street of gold, the gigantic street of gold that will just be just sparkling and glistening that we get to actually walk on. And it's just so exciting to think about these things. Most importantly, that we will get to see you face to face. We see you through a mirror now, dimly lit, but we're going to see you face to face and see Jesus and see all the saints who have gone on before us. What an exciting thing we have to look forward to. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.